USG yo honorable Dolashi chairperson raises the fundamental issue of unity and cohesion amongst the entities which report to the department. In our first conversation with all the entities with the minister, we have picked up that there are some challenges. I don't want to use a harsh word and say squabbles amongst the entities that report to the DOC. But one example which I can cite is that most of the entities, when they were presenting their overviews, it was just a meet and greet meeting, all of them, they complained that there's this problematic child here, which is called SABC and so on and so forth. Now, they can't sit and discuss among themselves and resolve whatever that is there. Now, I am taking this responsibility to say, I will convey the message to the minister and will make it a point that we intervene on the issue which Honorable Member Tolashe has raised here of the unity and cohesion amongst the entities which reports to the DOC chairperson. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair. I think it is just unfortunate that the acting chairperson was not able because of the internal conditions that he's going through. He's been booked off his own city. But the question, of course, is this acting scenario that we're experiencing at the ICASA, how can it be resolved? I think in the first place, in terms of the ICASA Act, we have been appointed through a process emanating from the portfolio committee with recommendation. And accordingly, it is the ministry in the Department of Communication that has that role of choosing amongst councillors a full-time chairperson. So it's not within, we just did it for our own convenience so that there should be one-stop shop. Because if we are going to be moving around that this month you'll be acting, that the signatures will just be flowing around a lot of decisions. We just did it just for the sake of consistency and to have one-stop shop. And there's nothing more to it except that he's just helping, you know, even the operators or stakeholders to address letters to a particular individual. So I do hope that it is understood in the sense that we don't have that, it's not our call, but in terms of the Act and the regulation and the Act, I mean, it is the Department of Communication, the Minister in the Department of Communication who's got to make that call. So in that respect, I hope that that brings satisfaction to your question in terms of our response. The other question that I thought maybe I should just chime in on is with regard to the issues of the strategic state-owned and the strategic objective that we were seen not to be having targets, etc. I think the understanding should be that strategic objective come as a result of having put out a vision, look at the external environment, the SWOT analysis, analyze it and say, this is what we can do, this is what we want to do. But looking at the external environment, SWOT analysis, etc., this is what we think we can do. And then we come with the building blocks, which are strategic planning, strategic objective, which addresses the vision. Now comes the detailed implementation of realizing that particular change. And I think this is what, if you look at all of those facilitated, et cetera, it's through regulation, licensing, looking at anti-competitive practices, et cetera, and all that, protecting consumer interest by monitoring and making sure that the consumers are satisfied. So it's just a building block which addressed to this, the strategy of the organization. Then from there you have detailed implementation plans that talk to all of those. As you can see, the whole idea when it says 5-year long term, we're actually saying in the 5 years is what we're going to do, and how are we going to do it? Through licensing, through regulating, through guarding against anti-competitive practices, numbering, interconnection, etc., and all kinds of things. So I just wanted to put it in that way, that it is just the base, but it's then underpinned by what is it that you're going to do to achieve your vision. These are strategic plan and the detailed implementation action. This is what we brought here to say, for this year, this is what we'll do. But if you look at each one of them, it addresses all of those things. So we are going to enhance through regulation, through licensing, through guarding against anti-competitive practices, etc., and all that. I think maybe in that way it can be understood that it actually is explained in what we are going to do to achieve the strategic objectives.
I will, if you are done, please. I hope other members will come in. But maybe before that, let me apologize. I am told other people didn't have food. Apparently there was a shortage of food. I don't know what happened. Especially our visitors. They didn't. We had a lot of food when we visited them during oversight. And here we are, they don't eat. I really don't know what happened. That must be checked. That must be checked. Because you can't call people and then don't feed them. No, I don't. I can't have indication of how that that's not my call. Can you assist the chairperson, the acting? He has contributed. If I can give you a chance to also contribute on responding to questions.
Thanks, Chair. Honorable members, good afternoon. I'm going to address two questions, and both unfortunately relate to podcasting. The first one relates to the absence of a community broadcasting policy. Actually, community broadcasting as a category of licensing does exist in a policy document, except that policy document is the broadcasting white paper of 1999, mm-hmm. which meant that there's quite a bit of review and update to be done. What ICASA, through its powers as a regulator, has been given the mandate to draft regulatory policy, we're actually reviewing community broadcasting and the regulatory environment. And the way that the process is structured is in such a way that you'll come up with a regulation, but if there are any other policy issues that come up during the review process, we are actually empowered through Section 4C to raise it and make recommendations with the minister. And the current discussion document, as it currently stands, which is where we are in terms of community broadcasting, is structured that way. Because it's evidence-based, because it's consultative, the outcome, if there are any policy-related issues which we inadvertently picked up during the research process, which relate to funding, which relate to the operation model of television and the like, we will raise accordingly in terms of Section 4C, and thus contribute to updating at least the community licensing category policy aspects of the broadcasting policy. And then the second one, I think it's something that it was more of a rhetorical statement from where I was sitting, that the CEO mentioned that because of the multiplicity of channels that GTT enables, you can actually have a channel per a language-based channel. But that in effect is actually also a business or a commercial decision, because in a GTT environment, you do have multiple channels, but the flavor and the content and the format is entirely up to the person that packages the channel. So for argument's sake, if the SABC has the PBS, were to, in their offering, in their bouquet offering, were to decide that the best way for them to make their public broadcasting mandate is to have multiple languages, they would do so. But at the end of the day, I think it was more rhetorical what the CEO was mentioning, was the fact that you now have more channels available, you can package it in such a way that you're able to achieve your public broadcasting or your public mandate or your diversity mandate objectives that you have in broadcasting. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Honorable Chair, maybe to add to on the last question that Councillor Wesanyana was talking about. When there was a question about the SABC and DTT, it is true what she's saying, in that the SABC has got the capability and the mandate to have all 11 official languages on its own. What is happening at the present moment, SABC 1 is Nguni, SABC 2 is the Soto, Tswana, Pedi, Afrikaans. SABC 3 is purely commercial, mixture of English and Afrikaans. Which means they are allocating time to a language, when actually that language should actually be 24/7, see the constitution. However, the issue that will always come with the SABC is simple. You would remember in Stellenbosch, 2002, in the ANC contract, it was said that 60% of funding of the SABC must come from the public press. It has never happened up until now. So it boils down to the funding or the type of funding that the SABC receives. And unfortunately, the majority of the advertising now goes to subscription, to multi-choice, not to the SABC, regardless of the program. So I just wanted to add that. Of course, the GTT, they will still have to make a choice, but it provides the opportunity of saying each and every language could be on the public space on its own. Then, let me just go into the issue that I was talking about. You asked me to clarify. The decision to have a set-top box actually came around in 2002. That time, the whole world had not moved an inch in terms of digital terrestrial transmission or even the standard. And it was decided in Geneva that you will have a set-top box based on the standard, and they specify the standard. And the DTT was going to be DVB-T, it was going to be digital video broadcast terrestrial. Then they changed it to terrestrial 1, and then it became terrestrial 2, the standard that they were using on the transmission side. Now, the assumption there was that, therefore, when you put the standard for transmission on digital, people will still remain with the analog TV. We will still be having analog TV. We had not anticipated that the proliferation of digital TV would be as fast as it's happening now. Presently, since 2014, March and September, there's always Samsung is producing a new TV. and it's digital. In March, they produce one. Those that have got a lot of money, they rush and buy it. If you don't have much money, you go and buy it in September. Same TV, you'll buy it in September at 50% of the price that it was sold on in March. That's what's happening in the TV space now. So you find these TVs that have got a dual tuner, analog and digital. Now, and television has just started accelerating, digital television. We started accelerating. Most of the TVs that you see today are actually digital. From Hisense, LG, you name them, they are digital. Now, I'm still having that analog TV that was receiving SABC. Therefore, out of the standards that we made in 2002, we're actually saying it's okay for you to keep your analog TV. What we will give you is this box that will convert that digital signal back to analog so that the TV can, you can see the signal on the TV. That's what is happening. So it, in essence, to put it crudely, it's more like saying, it's okay for you to be backward. We will give you a device that will turn this digital signal that is new so that you can see your signal, your digital television signal in analog. That's the problem of that we're dealing with. However, it doesn't say, from an economic point of view, the decision was taken that let's have a set of boxes, even if it's a transition. And they are transitory in nature, the set of boxes. However, what is happening now is that with what is happening with USASA, with the contracts and all, the Department of Communication cannot move on DTTs, cannot say switch off now or don't switch off, because there's no set-top boxes. There's still a huge number of households that have got analog TVs. That's the second problem. The third problem, as we continue using analog TVs, what will happen is, it's happening in the cell phone industry, they will start exporting from other countries analog TV into South Africa. They will dump them here. That's the problem that we're going to have. We will have dumping of TVs now, analog, because we've not migrated. We don't have set-top boxes, then we start producing set-top boxes, then households start receiving the signals. Then in the process, we become the dumping ground of the world on analog TV. That, those are the, I'm just pointing the challenges and the dangers that we're going to face. Economically, the issue of the manufacturing of a set-top box, it came with this concept of also industrialization. In that, maybe it's high time that South Africa manufactures some of these things. And those set-top boxes are actually being manufactured here in South Africa. But they are still, well, it's a nice name, set-top box, but essentially it's what is called a converter. Convert signals. But the set-top box is a nice name. Now, the issue of EETV, we'd be willing to we'll clarify it further, and encryption. ETV is trying to get into a subscription space. Encryption allows entry into subscription. The design of the encryption initially was for security reasons. That the set-top boxes, like you would remember, cell phones, you would be bought, sold in South Africa. Then they go over, they get stolen, they go over the border. So what we feared was that the same thing could happen easily with the set-top box, where you find those set-top boxes going over the border. Therefore, the encryption was decided that they must be encrypted. Then others, then two schools of thought emerged in the whole space. Non-encryption, encryption. There were those that were for encryption, there were those who were not for encryption. I know for a fact that I think multi-choice opposed the encryption because they didn't want somebody to get through the back door into subscription TV. That's essentially what is happening in that environment. I guess we may have to then just simply have a session where we dissect the totality of that environment and how it went. The other issue that I was raising about SABC and ETV and MNET have been issued with multiplex 1 and multiplex 2. 85% of multiplex 1 is with SABC, then 15% was allocated for community TV. That's why you have both Bay TV, Swanee TV and all. Then with the multi-choice and I mean in MNET and ETV it was 55-45. That's how it was split. The Department of Communications last year, February, then announced a switch on of what we call a dual illumination, that you are transmitting in digital terrestrial and you are also transmitting in analog at the same time. That is supposed to happen up until you have got enough set-top boxes such that you can switch off analog now and transmit solely on digital. The decision to switch off the analog by a DOC will be delayed purely because non-availability of set-top boxes. Litigation that may emerge out of the USASA thing of cancelling of contracts and all. That's essentially the issue. However, both SABC, ETV, and MNET were supposed to have submitted in September last year their technical and operational plans of using DTT. That's what we were busy following up now. They did submit others, but the plans were inadequate. They were turned back to them and said, how are you going to use DTT now since you are in dual illumination? So that those that are using, well, digital TV can still receive the signal, even though there's still very few set-top boxes that are there. The set-top boxes that are in Northern Cape are actually satellite set-top boxes. Because Northern Cape doesn't allow a radio or transmission of a land because of the SKA area. Then, on the issue that Honorable Kumbele was raising, I think the simple issue, Chair, I guess you had indicated this with the FPV. The simple issue is that we may just have to relook at the way we've written this. Because from the explanation, we can try and give wishy-washy explanations. They are not going to help. I think it's something we've been grappling with. The issue of making objectives smart. Let me put it that way. Because it's about what you're talking about is about the smartness of objectives, in that you must look at a document on the face of it, understand. I must not come and explain it for you to understand what I'm trying to say. So, from the explanation that you made, that is understandable, and I think it's what we may have to interact with and make sure that we correct and make it as smart as possible. Because we always settle with the AG when now we can put indicators, but the target itself is not smart, or the objective is defined is not smart. because it's not smart, you can't define the outcome. Because you can't define the outcome, or you can't define the goal, you then will have a wishy-washy indicator. Now, if you have a wishy-washy indicator, you cannot define when you have achieved an objective or when you have not achieved an objective. You'll have always have that difficulty, and you always had the arguments with the AG around this. Some of the issues we were trying to put in place in order to address this, I was asked a question around updated policies and all these things. It's defining some of these concepts. Sometimes at ICASA we have the tendency of using certain words interchangeably. If you look at our documents, you'll find the position paper, you'll find the discussion document, you will find the report, you will have the findings document. But none of these documents are defined, and we've had a problem with the AG in the sense that the AG says, okay, what are the criteria that you use to say now this is a findings document? What's the criteria you're going to use to say this is a position paper or this is a report? We also have compliance reports. We have got quality of service reports, as the Deputy Minister was indicating. And defining those, it's still our task. So we're developing standards, operating procedures and definitions in order to address those so that it's there, it's glaring, you can measure it, you can say, okay, this is a compliance report, this is this type of report and all. That's what we're busy working on. But number two, the reason we acquired the advanced spectrum management software system was because the last software we had on spectrum management was in 2000, was bought in 2000, was never updated. At the present moment, if you go in certain instances, you try to find a base station and it's near the coast, then you find that the base station, according to its geolocation, is actually 12 kilometers into the sea because of inaccuracy of those systems. They were never updated at all. And that's what we've been working on. We're uploading the data now, working with operators, making sure that the information is accurate so that the radio frequency specialists, when they go and check interference, they can say, yes, base station, they go and find it easily, and then they resolve the interference. That's what has been happening with our system. Then there is an issue that you asked about the collaboration and stakeholder centering. Collaboration, we develop these as values for ICASA. The way we're looking at collaboration was because of our way of working. And we looked at collaboration in terms of what you used to find at ICASA is that the reason we have a chief operating officer now is engineering division and the licensing division had overlapping responsibilities. But in execution, you find that engineering and licensing of spectrum is not talking to a licensing division, which is supposed to be doing the licensing. And then you end up having different processes. So we then, on the other hand, said, amongst ourselves, as the different divisions within the ICASA, we're actually working as individuals. And we needed to start working in a, call it a collaborative fashion. That's the one aspect of it. It was internally focused, the collaboration. The stakeholder-centric issue is to say, what is it that is the problem for Vodacom? What is it that is the problem for consumers? What is it that is a problem for multi-choice, WOW TV and all? And we tended to look at what we want to do to the industry, not at what is needed from out there by the stakeholders. I can give you one simple example. Suddenly, stakeholders were shouting, data must fall. Yeah, data must fall. However, none of us have ever asked one simple question, what causes data to be this expensive? And when you, if you go to Vodacom or MTN, they will tell you that a gigabyte is actually about 5 cents, which is true. It's about 5 cents, up until you start traveling, or up until you start using video, up until you start using all these high-end devices, then your cost escalates. That's number one. But number two, we, as a cluster, we started asking operators, why is there an in-bundle rate and out-of-bundle rate? What's the rationale? Even today, they are busy trying to answer us on that question. That's one part to it. But that's raised by consumers and what they are feeling. Now, operators turn around and say, but now we're doing frequency reuse. We don't have spectrum. The principle of cellular is frequency reuse. You can use this frequency here, and I can use it in Joburg, in a base station, and I can use it in Durban and all. It's frequency reuse. But however, you have got a limitation to do that. Somewhere you need, if you must have 10 megabits per second speed, you want to upload a DVD. Therefore, you must have, the operator must have this amount of spectrum in order to be able to transmit that efficiently. So therefore, on the other hand, operators are going to say to you, but our input costs are high. We don't have spectrum anymore. We must use more, we must build more and more base stations. Whereas if they received the spectrum, they were not going to need to build more and more base stations. Because, as an example, on 2.6 gigahertz megahertz spectrum, you can get distances of up to 5-10 kilometers. With 800 megahertz spectrum, which is a digital dividend, which is dependent on migration, you can get up to 100 kilometers distance. Which means, where you would have needed to put, 10 base stations, you only need one. So the input cost this side also needs to go down in order for the cost to you as the end user to also go down. So there's this dependency that you find. When I'm talking about stakeholder-centric, how do we help operators, for instance, to talk to municipalities so that there's coordination in the digging of trenches? How do we help on impact assessments? How do we help the operators to create a stickiness on certain services? It's that sort of thing when I was talking about the stakeholder centric. I hope I was not fiddling around and answering you. Then the regional offices, there's KZN, Eastern Cape, Western Cape, Free State, Gauteng. Now we've got the Mpumalanga and Limpopo. So we're left essentially with two that we don't have, which is the Northwest that we're going to and in Northern Cape. So those are the two that are left. We already have regional offices in all the other provinces. The white paper on telecom, the white paper was developed by the Department of telecommunication and postal services. It was developed by them. When it started, it was an integrated paper. It was developed as an integrated paper covering broadcast events and telecommunications. But subsequently, as they were getting to finish it, by the time they were developing a green paper, it was focusing purely on postal services and telecommunications. So then broadcasting tended to be left aside, and it became the responsibility of the Department of Communications. Though it had started as an integrated white paper. Essentially, I can't tell you, honorable members, when did it change? And then certain concepts came into that. But it's an issue that really needs to be resolved. Because who says that you can't find an economic regulator in a broadcasting economy? An economic regulator is an economic regulator, whether it's broadcasting or telecoms or postal, even though there's only one postal, post office. So it's problematic in the sense that these things need to be teased out. We need to understand what exactly is the objective here. What do we really need to achieve? There was a statement once said that ECASA tends to focus on broadcasting matters, it's not focusing on telecommunication. That's why they are developing it like that. At a certain stage, we did even suggest that the number of councillors must be reduced to 5. Then they said, no, but you are not going to be able to accommodate those that are focusing on telecommunication. So it's a discussion that's supposed to happen. Unfortunately, one of the, and I must say up front, the consultation with the CASA is mandated in law. They never did. When we commented on it, we commented and sent it, and then it was quiet. Then after that, the white paper, because we had published the IT, that simply came out. I will then ask Oteboho to deal with the issue of the payment of suppliers in 30 days or 15 days.
No, that was addressed. It's only on
transcript. Yeah.
On appointment.
Yeah. That's
I wanted to make a proposal. Chair, this is technical dynamics of digital migration, education of this, that, is not happening. I want to support Honorable Tulai in that. Maybe we need a session where we are technically taken through, graphically and so on. Give us the summaries of the country, how is it, and all those kind of things, what are the implications. So that when we argue as politicians, it must not just be a word written on paper. We must connect with it so that we connect both our emotions and our mind, because we understand. It's my request. And I think it's urgent, because this problem is urgent. So that we were taken through. OCO in Slam was tried in a very short space of time too. And it became so interesting that we need to begin to defend or challenge something we've got an organic relationship with.
Chair, in addition to that, I think Deputy Minister is here, thank you for that. Even the issue of the white paper by the sister department. There's no way, it's like we're not the same government. I think the Deputy Minister must really assist us in this one. We need to be all seated under one roof and be taken through on why a particular route as against any other route that we all understood, so that you can be also educated on this. It's so frustrating to get to hear that at this day and age we are still talking past each other.
we're still talking past that, it's a problem. But lastly, Chair, the acting chair did not really give me an answer because I thought he was going to take us into confidence on where the processes are insofar as the replacement of councillors within the board, CEO. Whether it's the chair or just without talking to everything else, just to say there is this process that is being undertaken without putting a, I know it might be uncomfortable, but however, it's part of the information that the all councillors should be aware of. Because where he's seated, I know there's time where he's going to have to exit. Not because he wants to, but because of the act and everybody else who's a councillor, because you are not forever there anyway. So those are the basic things that you could have been taken through. So that if there are huge challenges, we would know. If there are things that we have not moved with the necessary speed, check. Because I hear and I know the fact that we have a role to play. And if we can be given that information in case we have dropped the ball ourselves as a committee, then we would know and we would recommend to say we'll come back and make sure that we move with the necessary speed. Thanks, Chair.
Do you want to respond?
Honorable Chair, I wanted to just say to the councillors on it. It's purely in the hands of the Department of Communications, the Minister, and the committee, because after the Minister has made a recommendation, then it comes back to Parliament for approval by National Assembly, and then it goes back, Minister can appoint. The same with the appointment of the chairperson.
Okay. Ikona, I need that. Is there any response that is outstanding? No way, Ikona, she proposed closure. Members, I think we've exhausted everything in relation to entities. The second session will be strictly ours. It's the portfolio committee. Thank you very much.
We're closing this.
Chairperson, no. We're finishing the edit. The card. Thank you very much. Unfortunately, I can't say you may stay. What we can do is find a way out. But thanks for the presentation. Thanks for the presentation. We're now going to break for tea and for 10 minutes and come back. What's your good?
We need coffee outside, before we finish it. Yeah. That's what I'm talking about. Kafundi message yam ku WhatsApp wethu. Fundi message yam ndasa. Ku WhatsApp.
Kusana
Indonale, what is the name of this building? The building is called Kwadana. 120 in place.
Thank you.
Correct.
Minutes of the 31st of January 2017, page 1. Who was Sharon? And then Kala Kumakakwa and Tulash Sunday were not present.
Not?
Yeah.
Apologies,
Fande, TA.
Oh, okay.
Page 2. Anything on page 2? In page 3, we look at corrections and corrections and matters arising at the same time if there are things that are not done. Page 4. Page 5. And then page 4. Can we get the mover in second? Dolash seconded by Kungvel. Tolash and Kungvel. 14 February 2017. Page 1. Page 1. Okay. Page 2. Can we be assured there was quality assurance? So now let's jump on corrections and all that. Page 4. Page 5. Page 6. Any matters arising? Are there things that are not done? Were supposed to be done? Second, Talaco seconds from the moves. 21st February. Page 1. Page 2. page 3. Mova, if there is nothing. Talako, second night. Tolasha. Done. 28 February. Page 1. My lungs are just sending me. Sending me, it's written all the way. Minutes of the 8th March. Minutes of the 8th March meeting date minus 0. I the template in Malachi. Page 2. Anything more? No. Another funding move. Allah for second. March 14th. My friend's birthday. Page 1, page 2, page 3. Page 4. page 4. Page 5. Cornelia?
She says there's only one matter arising that is under discussion. It is a meeting that is not to be
broadcasting. I think we've created. For the MPP, there is 23rd of May.
We will.
Yeah. Imagi, mover. Is it done? Okay. Lay for custom the terras to Yes, this is all sugar than I. Now, blender be lender broadcasting big book on a decision a couple of minutes, net decision a couple of lender broadcasting big. Now, wait until the start to set the corner must be clear. As soon as he comes here last night, then I ask for the decision. But are we not supposed to get something from the committee? Are we not supposed to? Angiti, of course, we proposed names to Parliament, and it became a Parliament's matter. Parliament endorsed the names. When it comes back from the minister, whoever, to the speaker, is there anything that comes to us apart from the ATC that informs us?
What happened, Chair, is that once the minister made a mind of who to appoint, then she will write to the speaker.
No, we understand that process.
So what they do, they just table a summary of the letter to say that they will receive the letter from the minister indicating that she will be appointed.
By two of the Lord.
In the letter that says to return to the speaker.
No, the speaker.
The speaker puts that on the 80s. Probably I should translate what is on the 80s.
And I understand that. But apart from the 80s, because it was our recommendation, I'm just checking. Are we not supposed to get something, a communique from the speaker's office that says...
Chair, this is a communication from the speaker's office through the ATC because this is now referred to the Committee for Consideration and Report.
Oh, correct.
A letter dated 27 March 2017 has been received from the Minister of Communication requesting approval by the National Assembly of the following two candidates for appointment to the Independent Communications Authority of South Africa in terms of Section 5.1b of the ICASA Act 13 of 2000 and amended. Ms. Palisa Kati and Advocate Timakaso Kosha. And then they referred to the Portfolio Committee on Communications and Report.
That's the letter. If it says it's referred to us, that's the communication that I wanted. Do you have in your ATCs members? Because mine was not working. a tablet. Now, if it's in the house, because the ATC is circulated to all members. So if it's there, that's fine. Are you to wonder where that's there?
But I think the essence what I would share is not to reiterate, but to say that given that we gave three names, the committee has an opportunity at the through the National Assembly that is not satisfied by the nominations of the ministers. By inference means they can then revoke the decision. And so I would assume naturally that it means that seeing that we endorse in
yes, the committee can table a report to say that they are in agreement. Which is what is prepared for. They are not in agreement.
Then it's clear.
It's deep in fire.
Lendo, you could refer us as the moves that we had to commit. That committee report, was it referred to us? Was that committee report?
Yeah.
Was it referred to us as the committee? Because referring to the committee is quite critical for us. On the basis of
I think it is important for us to get clarity on that. But where I'm sitting, I thought about it later. Incidental upon it being in the hands of the interim board and SIPC, it's our oversight issue, even if it's referred or not referred. The fact that it has gone to that space, incidental upon that, it becomes our oversight issue.
Yes, no, that one, there is no conduct on that one. No,
sir, the last thing that we have been raising is that we needed to go to the children's however, the outstanding issue is asking for the confirmation whether all the questions that we're asking on the state in the court of either the report by the minister, because the ministry could not support us.
In fact, they responded. They said they don't know.
Actually, where I'm sitting, provided we've got facts of this
thing,
it's a political mess.
All you want to know is where was it? That was done or not.
Yes,
let's do that.
On the basis of the HSC, here is the report. A report of portfolio committee on communication on filling of two vacancies in ICASA. The portfolio committee on communication, having considered the request from the Minister of Communications to approve the appointment of two persons to fill the two vacancies in the ICASA Council, reports as follows. A letter dated 27 March 2017 was received from the Minister of Communications requesting approval by the National Assembly of the following two candidates for appointment to the CASA Council in terms of Section 5.1b of the CASA Act No. 13 of 2000 as amended. Now the two names are Pali Sakati and Advocate Tim Makatso Kosha. On 3 May 2017, the committee considered the request from the Minister of Communications and recommends that the National Assembly approves the appointment of Pali Sakati and her Advocate Tim Makatso Kosha to the CASA Council. And then the report to be considered by the committee. Any mover? Okay. Tolashi moves, seconded.
By Lavin. By
Lavin. Seconded by Kalako.
That's not what I call democratic.
Remember that's it. I think we're done now.
Gigi,
where were you? Where were you, man? I think they have, for now, they have the finger lunch issue. For now, we've dealt with it. Because I equally enjoy it, you see, we cannot get the finger lunch. So, yeah, because today, I called